You're listening to Policy Currents, a weekly podcast from RAND. I'm Deanna Lee.
And I'm Evan Banks. Every Friday, we bring you new insights from RAND's latest research and commentary. It's March 8th.
The United States and its allies have been ramping up calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. But according to RAND's Raphael Cohen, quote, "The international community cannot dictate a solution to the Israel-Hamas war by fiat." In fact, even if a ceasefire deal were reached, Israel would likely respond by tightening its blockade of Gaza, citing Hamas's continued existence as one reason for doing so. More specifically, Israel would likely put severe limits on the quantities and types of building materials allowed into the Strip, given the fact that Hamas diverted thousands of tons of steel and concrete to build its tunnel networks, and Israel would not want to see them rebuilt. The net consequence would be that desperately needed reconstruction in Gaza would be severely delayed or even brought to a standstill. The fighting between Israel and Hamas likely wouldn't stop either. Fearing that Hamas will make good on its promise to repeat the October 7th attack, Israel would step up its preemptive strikes on Gaza and the West Bank. And at the same time, Hamas would continue to attack Israel, if only to reinforce its legitimacy and divert attention away from the likely dismal conditions in Gaza. In other words, the situation may end up right back where it started. But what about a two-state solution? Wouldn't it solve these problems? Probably not, Cohen says. There are still a host of thorny issues that would need to be resolved before a second state could come into being. Issues like borders, water and air rights, the demilitarization of the Palestinian state, and the partition of Jerusalem. There is also the problem that only one-third of Palestinians favor a two-state solution themselves, and 9 in 10 don't trust the Palestinian Authority. Further, for its part, Hamas has made it abundantly clear that it wants one state without Jews under an Islamist banner. These are major challenges, and while they should not stop the international community from pushing for a political settlement, it should be considered, at best, a long-term solution, not a near-term fix. So, Cohen concludes, if the international community actually hopes to end the tragedy in Gaza, then it needs a viable alternative strategy to calling for a ceasefire. It must offer feasible solutions that address both Palestinian grievances and Israeli security concerns.
In its attempts to challenge the West, Russia has a long history of unforced errors. In fact, says RAND's William Courtney, Moscow's mistakes are so frequent or serious that they substantially weaken Russia's position. The strategic mishaps began early in the Cold War, when the Soviet Union blockaded Allied land access to West Berlin and organized a coup in once democratic Czechoslovakia. Both actions rallied support for the creation of NATO. Later in the 1970s, the USSR began secretly deploying SS-20 intermediate-range ballistic missiles against Europe and Japan, leading NATO to deploy its own missiles. Most recently, the full-scale invasion of Ukraine may prove to be modern Russia's greatest blunder, Courtney says. Like the Berlin blockade, the conflict is giving lifeblood to NATO. And as with the fielding of SS-20 missiles, the West views the Ukraine invasion as a direct assault on its security interests. It's unclear exactly how Washington will respond going forward, as continued aid to Ukraine remains in question. But further Western support for Ukraine could hasten Russia's decline or weaken its imperial regime. Currently, Russia is drawing down reserves to fund the war economy, while the civilian economy faces a scarcity of Western capital and technology. Living standards may soon bear much of the war's cost and could demoralize Russians, factors that likely abetted the collapse of the USSR more than 3 decades ago. Importantly, Courtney notes that even though Russia has paid a price for many of its past miscalculations, it has also escaped blowback, quote, because the West has other priorities or is naive. So only time will tell what consequences Russia might face for its latest errors and what lessons it might ultimately learn.
Moving on from an active war to a hypothetical one, there are growing concerns about America's ability to defend against a potential invasion of Taiwan by China. RAND researchers recently brought together technologists from the private sector and defense experts to explore technological solutions that could have a game-changing impact in such a contingency. The ideas covered a wide range of capabilities, from communications and intelligence collection to combat training and munitions. Here are just a few of them. On the communications front, real-time translation tools could help break down the language barrier between U.S. and Taiwanese personnel and allow forces to communicate effectively and efficiently. Such a tool would run on equipment carried by deployed personnel and would provide real-time translation of spoken English, Taiwanese, and Mandarin. This tool would need to handle idiomatic speech, military jargon, and all relevant dialects. In the case of a China-Taiwan conflict, China is likely to spread false narratives, create confusion, and influence public opinion in their favor. Deep learning technology could be used to help guard against and respond to these information operations. This would require collecting and analyzing data from the internet, including from social media, news websites, forums, and underground networks, by using natural language processing, image recognition, and computer vision technology. Such tools could identify both text and multimedia content that may be part of Beijing's coordinated disinformation operations. By tracing the origin and spread of China's disinformation, the U.S. and Taiwan could respond by countering them with accurate information, or by taking action against the sources of false information. New technology may also advance weapons that can disrupt an invasion by China. For example, AI or machine learning-enabled maritime mines could reposition themselves and swarm vessels, potentially destroying high-value targets. These mines would use multiple information sources and a heuristic algorithm to communicate with one another, relying on temperature, pressure, and the electromagnetic spectrum. Selectively concealing the network and the location of these mines from China's military would be essential. It's worth noting that these and other solutions outlined in the paper are at various stages of development and come with a variety of practical as well as technical challenges. However, according to the authors, these technologies could meaningfully enhance America's ability to defend against Chinese aggression.
From Flint, Michigan, to Denver, to Pittsburgh, many communities have experienced lead-contaminated drinking water in recent years. The latest water quality challenge is happening on St. Croix, one of the U.S. Virgin Islands, where a months-long water advisory was just lifted at the end of January. While the immediate response to this crisis may be over, more work is needed to ensure safe drinking water in the long term. RAND's Sarah Hughes recently wrote about three valuable lessons that can be learned from past water disasters. First, St. Croix must regain residents' trust in the drinking water system. Drinking water is essential to people's health and well-being, and when the water isn't safe, especially for vulnerable people like children, the elderly, and the immune compromised, the shattered trust can take years to repair. This can lead people to rely unnecessarily on bottled water, paying orders of magnitude more for their drinking water. What's more, drinking bottled water has also been linked to longer-term disengagement from decision-making about critical drinking water services. The second lesson is the importance of rebuilding the technical and physical capacity in the local drinking water system. Ultimately, the only surefire solution is to remove and replace all lead service lines. This is a costly and time-consuming endeavor. And even though the island has access to resources from a federal disaster declaration amid the water contamination crisis, additional funds will likely be needed for full lead pipe replacement. Finally, St. Croix's response to the drinking water disaster will need to account for and build resilience to a changing climate. For example, changing patterns of water supply and demand due to drought have led to stagnated water in the distribution system. This can allow contaminants to accumulate in the water before it reaches a home or school. New infrastructure investments will have to account for these evolving conditions. Actions such as these are essential to ensure a safe and resilient drinking water system in St. Croix, or any community that is looking to address the systemic risks of a water contamination.
People of all ages are susceptible to misinformation, but research suggests that false and misleading information could have an outsized influence on older adults. This could make older Americans a target for those seeking to influence U.S. elections. To help protect against this risk, decision makers need a deeper understanding of older Americans' media habits and preferences. A new RAND survey of adults aged 55 and older offers some key insights. About one-third said that they look at social media posts about political or social issues every day, but only about 5% said they create, share, or comment on posts daily. Three-quarters reported being very concerned about the spread of misinformation and disinformation online, but few said that they were worried about being fooled by either. Overall, respondents said that they viewed posts by public figures, radio talk show hosts, and national news media as less trustworthy sources of information than information received directly from family and friends. In addition to these findings, we recently published a tool to help Americans of all ages counter false and misleading information online. You can find that tool at RAND.org.
That's it for this week's episode. If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed today, check out the show notes at rand.org/podcast. We'll see you next week. RAND is a nonprofit institution that helps improve policy and decision-making through research and analysis.